to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings. This is the automatically deleted husband. A couple things, including two about death. Unfortunately, you may be aware of the singer Carmen has died at, and he's like 2 weeks older than I am. But he died, I guess, yesterday or something. And so, out of respect for that, I was reminded. Of a video that I have, because I actually recorded it live, of my wife interpreting Carmen's Champion song in 1991, April 26th. And I watched it and it reminded me of the woman I love and adore. I'll put the link in the email. I highly recommend it. Feel free to download it. I love that lady. But the other thing, because, you know, yesterday I mentioned slavery and the kidnappings that occurred in places like Chibok, Nigeria, years ago, and talked about some details about that. And mentioned that a month or so ago, apparently it was December, where there was another large kidnapping. They got them. I didn't check again how they got free. But anyway, it happened again today. 270, 300 or whatever. Again, and this time one of the students, you know, school kidnapping, one of them was killed. And it's kind of like, you know, apparently kidnapping is, yeah. What I thought of is that in the 60s and 70s, especially, the idea of hijacking planes was a popular way to make money or to escape. That was done a lot. The few notable instances was the one guy, I forget his name, who apparently had the plane land somewhere. They brought on a bunch of money on the plane, and then they took off, and he parachuted out, never to be seen again. I forget who his name, but anyway, there was that. There was the incident where two planes were hijacked by the PLO. I think it was the PLO, and they blew them up on the runway. Was it in Tel Aviv or was it somewhere? Anyway, they blew up the planes and whatnot. So obviously that was political motivation. But, you know, those kind of things happened. But in Nigeria, they're going through essentially the same kind of thing. Kidnapping for ransom is commonplace, apparently. But at this scale, it's not that commonplace. And some people apparently do it for money. Boko Haram does it for other purposes. They go to schools because, again, Boko Haram, no Western education. And whether or not the schools that was hit in December or the one that was hit today or yesterday was a Christian school, I don't know. But apparently there's a reasonable likelihood because, obviously, that would be complete opposite of what Boko Haram stands for. So they would go after that as an obvious target, a Christian school. And it just amazes me, especially after mentioning it yesterday, because I think about what do the parents go through when their kids are kidnapped. And I don't have to imagine too much, do I? I thought about that. Maybe the reason this gets to me, it's not gunpoint by a terrorist organization, Boko Haram, but rather gunpoint by a terrorist organization, the government. Anyway, those things really bother me. One other thing, I've had a delightful dialogue with my friend Dave, because we have been going back and forth, most specifically on the idea that the Bible is true and the institutional church is a fraud. And it's been a rational, continuous dialogue. And what was so delightful was that he responded to me and again brought up a verse and said, well, what about this? And, you know, it, marvelous. It wasn't a condemning thing. It was on the question of local church assemblies, what is your understanding of 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35? He said this verse makes sense in the context of an organized church meeting, but doesn't make sense if believers are only gathered in homes, which, you know, I basically told him why that's not true, that it does work in homes. One of the things I did in trying to give a rational response, maybe I'll put the email, at least part of it in this email, is I found, I wasn't aware of this before, but when we read the word speak, it doesn't always come from the same word. It's either lego or the leo. But I only did a brief study today because I need to find out more about it, because one is more of an idea of just simply proclaiming, saying something, or the other is, it seems to be more I'm teaching something or trying to get something more in depth across. That's not quite right, but I'm trying to understand that a little bit better, because it changes. You know, it's not just speak as we think in English. And because speak is used a whole lot in the scripture, and it's fascinating. But then I had a fascinating conversation with Chris as we discussed that passage. And it was marvelous, and it would be something I would love to share with my family, because not only did we do the 1 Corinthians 14, we also went to the 1 Corinthians 11, the passage that talks about head coverings, and we went through it in some depth. And, you know, again, I want to be able to examine this with people, because, this passage, the 1 Corinthians 11, is you know, about the head coverings and so forth. Oh, people get all angry about that. The feminists really, you know, hate that, you know, because of the covering having a head covering. But we looked into it and tried to see not what people react to, but what does the Lord say? And that was absolutely marvelous, because the head covering is not a scarf here. It is hair. The thought came to mind is when Paul talks about, do not muzzle the ox as he's treading out the grain. And Paul states, is he concerned about the ox that he's concerned about? And thought about that. And I wonder, apply that same thought here. Is it the hair that the Lord is concerned about? Or who is the covering? The covering of the wife is the husband. And when you look at the passage, it's kind of like, oh, maybe this makes sense. Because, you know, there's the intimacy of the relationship there. From the LSV, verse 10, because of this, woman ought to have a token of authority on the head because of the messengers. But, you know, look at that, the token of authority. It's not her hair, it's her husband. And the thing is, because of the messengers or because of the ESVs, because of the angels, which, you know, angels, angelos is a messenger. Fascinating thing is, a messenger isn't necessarily the spiritual angel, because a messenger, especially a messenger of good news, an evangelist, you know, because good news is you being good and angelos, a messenger. So a messenger of good news. So are we talking not spiritual angels, but other people? If you're in the context of a gathering of people where people are sharing a message, proclaiming things, the woman who is supposed to keep silent in the assembly is because she doesn't interrupt or not interrupt, has to be protected from other messengers, other men, which, you know, the context there is just fascinating dig into, you know, because, you know, the 1 Corinthians 14 about if the woman let them be silent in the assemblies, and the silent is not the idea of no speaking. I think it's more of the idea of not being, to speak in the authoritative way. I'm getting really long. It was a fascinating discussion, which I think it, you know, when you try to look at the Bible and say, okay, this is not a man-made document. This is written by the Lord. I mean, again, I keep telling people, use a scientific method. What's the theory? The theory is the Bible, what it says. Now you test it. You test it to see what's true, and then of course adjust your theory as you see as the evidence shows. But we can't really adjust the Bible. Well, you know, we can adjust things in the sense we adjust as we say, okay, we test the scripture. We see this passage, you know, John 8, the woman caught in adultery, doesn't fit. Doesn't fit, not because we don't like the text, but because it was a fourth century document. It didn't exist beforehand. It's not part of your scripture. It's called a floating passage because it appeared multiple places in John and Luke or whatever it was, or Mark or someplace. That we can test and say, okay, that's not part of scripture. But the parts that are part of scripture, is it a consistent message? Does it, can we test it, you know, when it talks about things that we can see in history? Does it work? Completely consistent. Everything I've tested, it's remarkable. It is a love letter. I'm finding great joy in it. I'm sharing that with others. I want to share that with my own family. One last thing. Speaking of the hair, because of the Corinthians 11 passage. The idea that she should not cut her hair short, verse 6. When I looked at the video, my wife doing the champion, it's obviously early in our marriage, and she had the short and curly hair. And subsequent to that, stop cutting her hair, stop curling her hair, and her hair got down to her behind. I thought it was beautiful. Shortly after she abandoned me, she cut her hair. And I see a consistency here. She abandoned her husband and showed it by cutting her hair. She took away her head covering, her husband. Consistent with scripture. She's telling the Lord, She has a better way. I find that there are a lot of things I have to repent of that I have repented of. My wife has things to do too. And I pray that one day she'll find that that repentance leads her towards reconciliation with her husband. Full reconciliation. I ask for that. And I'll be available to her all the days of my life. And she knows it. My lady, I love you.